Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving straight into 4G and 5G security testing.
Yes, specifically looking at how vulnerabilities get uncovered.
Exactly. We're focusing on finding those hidden weaknesses. And with 5G and, you know, whatever comes next, these networks are getting so complex.
They really are. The attack surface is just huge now. So understanding these detection methods is, well, it's critical.
So this deep dive, we're exploring the different ways researchers are doing this, digging into the protocols, the implementations, basically everything keeping our phones connected.
And we'll look at how much an attacker might already know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that changes the game.
Right. From knowing nothing to, well, having the whole blueprint.
And a big technique we'll keep coming back to is fuzzing.
Ah, yes, fuzzing. Can you give us the quick rundown on that again?
Sure. Basically, you throw unexpected stuff at a system, random data, weird inputs.
Right.
You're trying to break it, essentially.
Like stress testing it to find the cracks?
Precisely. For 4G and 5G, that means feeding the network protocols all sorts of malformed or unusual data packets. See what trips it up.
Okay, so first off, there's this idea about looking beyond the usual suspects, right? Not just the known attacks.
Exactly. Some research, you know, it focuses on specific attack vectors we already know about, which is important, of course.
But not enough on its own.
Right. We need a more holistic view. We need to find not just those sort of systematic flaws, but also the weird things that pop up unexpectedly.
Emergent behaviors, they call them.
Yeah, those unintended consequences from complex interactions. They can be the really nasty ones sometimes.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to this multi-fuzzing framework idea. Sounds quite comprehensive.
It is. It's about using different fuzzing strategies depending on what you assume the attacker knows.
Adapting the approach.
Exactly. They break it down into three types: LAL, SIAL, and SOAL.
LAL, listen and learn. What's the story there?
So LAL is the black box one. Imagine the attacker knows basically nothing about the 5G protocols internally.
Okay, starting from scratch.
Right. LAL just, well, listens. It observes normal traffic between a phone and the tower. Collects legitimate messages.
And
then it starts messing with them. It replaces commands it saw within that same communication channel, sort of injects unexpected instructions into the flow.
Ah, so it learns what's normal, then tries to subtly derail it. What's it trying to find?
Mostly communication error states.
Yeah.
Situations where the system just doesn't handle that unexpected message properly.
And did it work?
Oh, yeah. They tested this on the SOSRAN 5G platform that's an open source SDR project.
Right.
And they found 129 vulnerabilities in the RRC connection process, radio resource control.
129, just by listening and swapping commands.
Yep. And get this, the average time to detect one was just 0.072 seconds.
Wow. Less than a tenth of a second. That's incredibly fast.
It really highlights how fragile things can be, even if you don't know the inner workings. Just messing with the conversation can cause problems.
So they found these vulnerabilities quickly. Did they dig deeper into why the connections failed?
They did. They analyzed the failures, identified these high-risk states that popped up often when things went wrong.
Okay.
But interestingly, just knowing those individual states wasn't the whole picture. It wasn't enough for really reliable detection.
Right. Context matters. So what came next? You mentioned transaction-based detection.
Exactly. Instead of just looking at isolated states, they started looking at the sequence of states, the transitions between them.
Like mapping the journey, not just the stops.
Pretty much. They built this state transaction probability map. It helped them see which sequences were more likely to lead to a failure.
Okay, that sounds much more powerful, like predicting trouble ahead based on the path taken.
That's the idea. And to take it further, they brought in machine learning.
Ah, LSTM, long short-term memory networks.
That's the one. They used LSTM to predict vulnerabilities based on these state transition sequences.
And how did that compare to, say, simpler rule-based methods?
Well, they found that traditional statistical and rule-based approaches only got about 70.54% recall. So not bad, but
room for improvement.
Definitely. The LSTM needed more advanced analysis. They looked at ROC curves.
Receiver operating characteristics.
Right. Trying to find the sweet spot. And they found that looking at just, say, 10 steps in the sequence or tracking for about 0.08 seconds gave a really high prediction accuracy.
How high?
The average cutoff time for prediction was actually 0.072 seconds, same as the detection time, with 89% accuracy.
89% accuracy that fast.
Yeah. And that gave them, on average, about 3.49 seconds lead time for proactive defense before the connection actually failed.
That's potentially huge for stopping attacks in their tracks. Were there any hiccups? False alarms?
There were some. They mentioned false positives, especially with paging messages, you know, the signals to wake up a sleeping phone.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the model flagged a connection as bad if it saw like three paging messages early on, because that pattern also happened real failures.
So a bit of ambiguity there. It needs refining.
Yeah, maybe define paging messages more precisely or something. But overall, LAL looks pretty powerful for a black box approach.
Okay, so LAL is the no-knowledge approach. What about SIL? Synchronize and learn. What's different?
SIL moves into the gray box area. Here, the assumption is the attacker has some inside info.
Like what kind of info?
Specifically, user accessible stuff. The key one mentioned is the RNTI, the Radio Network Temporary Identifier.
Right, that temporary ID the network gives your phone. How does having that help?
Well, with the RNTI, the attacker can replay recorded commands, but keep them synchronized correctly within the network conversation. It makes the fuzzing much more targeted.
I see. So they can inject commands that look more legitimate context-wise.
Exactly. They used a probability-based fuzzing method with SIL.
Mm-hmm.
And the results, better precision, better recall compared to other models.
And did it take more effort? More fuzzing attempts?
Actually, no. Mm. Significantly fewer fuzzing cases were needed.
Wow. So just that little bit of synchronization info makes a big difference in efficiency.
A huge difference. It really lets you zero in on potential weak spots.
Okay. Black box LAL, gray box SIL. That leaves SOAL, source and learn, white box.
Yep. White box. This assumes the attacker has the golden key, full source code access.
So they can see everything. How does that change the fuzzing?
It becomes incredibly fine-grained. So SOAL does bit-level fuzzing, flipping individual bits in the data.
But not just randomly flipping bits everywhere, right?
To know. It's guided. It uses the insights from the command-level fuzzing done by LAL and SIL to know which bits are likely most significant or impactful.
Ah, so the higher-level fuzzing directs the microscopic bit-level fuzzing. Smart. What's the goal?
To really pinpoint and explain the vulnerabilities at the deepest level. And they had success here, too.
What did they find?
Using SOAL, they found three distinct man-in-the-middle vulnerabilities. And these weren't just implementation bugs. They stem from weaknesses in the actual 5G protocols themselves.
MITM attacks traced back to the protocol design. That's serious stuff.
It really is. It shows how this multi-layered approach from black box to white box can uncover different kinds and different depths of vulnerabilities.
That multi-fuzzing framework sounds incredibly thorough. Okay, let's shift gears. BaseSafe. This one uses emulation.
Yeah, BaseSafe is different again. It's focused on fuzzing cellular basebands.
The low-level chips in our phones doing the actual radio communication?
Exactly. And the big challenge there is that the firmware is usually closed source. Black boxes, basically.
Right, hard to analyze. So how does BaseSafe get around that?
It uses emulation, but cleverly. It does what they call partial rehosting.
Partial rehosting, meaning it doesn't try to emulate the entire phone OS and everything?
Right. Just the necessary baseband components. This makes it much faster and lets them instrument the code for fuzzing, even without the source.
Instrumenting, like adding probes to see what's going on?
Sort of, yeah. And a key part is a sanitizing drop-in allocator.
Okay, what does that do?
It's a special memory manager that's really good at spotting heat-based buffer overflows almost instantly, a common nasty type of bug.
Catching memory errors. Very important for basebands. How did they test it?
They built a proof of concept for a MediaTek baseband, one that uses Nucleus RTOS.
Common in embedded systems.
Right. And they fuzzed its message parsers. The emulator setup was super optimized. They were hitting hundreds of executions per second per core.
Hundreds per core. So with multiple cores.
They mentioned getting around 15,000 test cases per second total in their setup.
15,000 a second. That's intense.
It's a combination of things. They use the Unicorn emulation engine connected to the AFL plus fuzzer.
Okay.
And they had these clever functions, AlFork server start and AFL must start.
Okay.
The fork server one lets them kind of snapshot the emulator state and quickly clone it for each test case, avoiding slow reboots.
Saves a ton of time.
Yeah. And they also cache the translated code blocks, the JIT stuff inspired by AFL's QEMU mode. Again, speeds things up massively.
So lots of optimization tricks borrowed and adapted. What were they initially looking for?
Their first target was LTE RRC and EMM messages, the ones used before the phone is fully authenticated.
Pre-authentication vulnerabilities, those are always high priority.
Definitely. And BaseSafe has a debug mode, too, for when things crash, to figure out exactly what went wrong.
Makes sense. What's next for BaseSafe?
They want to go beyond just memory bugs, look for logic flaws, too. Needs more complex modeling.
All right.
Also, better coverage, tracking, collision-free tracing, they call it. and supporting more targets, like Qualcomm's Hexagon processors, plus making it easier to set up for new basebands, more automation.
Sounds like a really promising direction for tackling those closed-source basebands.
Okay, next up.
HFuzz, hierarchy-aware fuzzing for NB-IoT.
Yeah, HFuzz takes yet another angle. It's a gray box fuzzer, but its special trick is understanding the structure of protocols, especially complex ones like an NB-IoT.
Structure, like the format of the messages.
Exactly. It knows about things called information elements, or IEs, little self-contained data chunks within a message, and how they fit together hierarchically.
So it's not just fuzzing random bytes. It understands the message's grammar, in a way.
That's a good way to put it. It focuses on control plane stuff, S1AP, diameter GTPv2. They tested it using a specific GTPv2 message, the create session request.
How is HFuzz built? What are the parts?
It's got a mutator, obviously, for changing the data, a monitor to watch what happens, track code coverage, a sender to handle the connection, and the key part, the message structure tree, or MST.
Ah, the MST. That sounds like the core of the hierarchy-aware bit.
It is. The MST is built based on the protocol's format rules. It represents the message as a tree, reflecting its structure.
So the fuzzer can work with this tree.
Right. It can decompose the raw message data into the tree, make changes at different levels of the tree, like modifying a specific IE, and then serialize it back into a raw message to send.
That seems much smarter than just randomly flipping bits if you know the structure.
It allows for much more targeted mutations. And it uses coverage feedback, too, basic block coverage.
Which parts of the code got executed?
Yes. And they even have an enhanced algorithm to prioritize exploring code paths that seem more significative, more likely to lead to new discoveries. Speeds up finding interesting behaviors.
Did they compare it to other fuzzers?
They did. Against AFL and Peach, testing on both open source OAI and some commercial gear.
Yeah.
HFuzz consistently got better code coverage, especially with that enhanced algorithm. It found new code paths faster than the others.
So understanding the hierarchy really pays off.
It seems so, especially for these complex structured protocols.
Okay, now for something completely different. Model-based testing. This isn't really fuzzing in the same way, is it?
Not exactly, no. It's more abstract. Model-based testing is about checking if the system behaves according to a predefined model of how it should behave.
Like comparing the real thing to the blueprint.
Kind of, yeah. You first create a model, say, of a handshake process.
Yeah.
Then you generate test cases based on that model. Some follow the model correctly, others have intentional mistakes or deviations.
Okay.
Then you run these tests against the actual system and see if the responses match what the model predicts. Does the connection succeed when it should, fail when it should?
How do you generate those test cases, the ones with mistakes?
You have rules. You might drop a whole message, inject an extra one, repeat one. Or you might modify specific fields within a message based on patterns defined in your test generation strategy.
And has this approach found real-world problems?
Yes. They evaluated it on 12 different access points, a mix of open source, commercial routers, even professional gear.
A wide range.
And it found logical flaws, things like downgrade attacks, denial of service issues, ways to fingerprint devices.
So it's good at catching those higher-level logic errors, not just memory corruption.
Exactly. It tests if the protocol's logic and state transitions are implemented correctly according to the model.
Interesting. Okay, one more. DeikQ. Fuzzing 4G LTE state machines.
Right. DeikQ focuses specifically on testing the phone itself, the user equipment, or UE, in 4G LTE.
And specifically its state machines.
Yes. The finite state machines, FSMs, for NAS non-access stratum and RSC protocols, it's looking at how the phone transitions between different operational states.
Like idle, connecting, connected, that kind of thing.
Precisely. It uses techniques from FSM testing theory, like membership and equivalence queries. Is this state reachable? Does the phone's FSM behave identically to the standard's FSM?
How did they test this? It's black box, right? Testing real phones.
Yeah, black box testing of actual phones. They used a modified SRS LTE stack with the USRP radio to talk to the phones over the air. And they used a formal methods tool, NenOXMV, to check the FSM equivalence.
Testing over the air against real hardware, what did they find?
They found issues by replaying certain NAS messages at unexpected times, like GUTI reallocation messages messing with the phone's temporary ID, or sending plaintext authentication requests when encryption should have already been established.
Ooh, that sounds bad. Accepting plaintext commands after security is supposed to be active.
Exactly. They found vulnerabilities like this on several different phone models. It shows that specifically, targeting the stateful behavior of these protocols can uncover significant flaws in how phones manage their connection and security.
Definitely concerning. Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground here.
We really have. From black box listening to white box source analysis, emulation, hierarchy-aware fuzzing, model checking, state machine testing.
It's clear there's no single silver bullet. Researchers are using this whole arsenal of techniques.
And they need to. These 4G and 5G networks are just so complex, and the threats are diverse. You need multiple angles to find the hidden weaknesses.
It really underscores how vital this continuous security testing is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially as the networks keep evolving. It's a constant cat and mouse game.
Which brings us nicely to a final thought for you, our listeners. We've talked a lot about 4G and 5G, but 6G is already on the horizon, promising even more complexity, more AI, more interconnectedness.
Yeah, the challenges are only going to grow.
So the question is, how will these vulnerability detection approaches, fuzzing, modeling, emulation, how will they need to adapt and evolve to keep pace? How do we stay ahead of threats in these even more intricate future networks?
That's the multi-billion dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely something to think about.
Indeed. We really encourage you, if this sparked your interest, to look up some of the research papers and the open source tools we touch on today. There's a lot more detail out there.
Absolutely. Keep learning, keep exploring.
Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.